I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm sorry, you're a what? It's one more thing.
Armstrong and Getty.
One more thing.
Before we get to that, Emmanuel Macron was egged the other day in France. Didn't get a lot of attention. But I saw that. And, you know, after what has happened with various eggings and Larry Elder running for governor in California and different people across the country, pushins and shovins, I was thinking, and obviously I'm not hoping for this. I don't want it to happen. Anybody who does this is a nut job. I think we've got a political assassination of a major figure coming. Doesn't it just feel like that should happen in the world? The way everybody's so on edge?
Yeah, and demonizing their opponents and the rest of it.
Yeah. I just feel like that an attempt or a success, you know. I just feel like there's one coming that, you know, and I don't want it. Maybe that would settle us down. I don't know. Everybody think, this is for real. I forgot. This is not all just hijinks. Because right now I feel like it's all being treated as kind of like a joke.
Well, remember the crazy Bernie supporter who shot up the congressional baseball practice? I mean, that was only by the grace of God and our emergency medical folks that wasn't a high-profile assassination.
Right. Anyway.
Steve Scalise, number three in the House at that point, wasn't he, or number two?
Yep. Things are too hot. Anyway, hope I'm wrong.
Everybody keep cool. So, as I said, you're a what? Evidently, climate psychologist is a job. And CNBC is quoting a climate psychologist.
Are they offering help to the climate? Why do you look so down?
You seem kind of hot these days. What's the problem?
Why so rainy?
Listen, this is actually this is the breeze of common sense blowing through the plains. Climate psychologist says neither gloom and doom nor extreme solution obsessed optimism is the best way to discuss climate change productively.
I know you doom and gloomers. Jeez, take it somewhere else. Stay away from me.
This is an interview with climate psychologist Renee Lertzman, which again is a
climate psychologist.
Yeah. Yeah,
maybe she was just smart enough to name herself that and think, I'm going to jump on this train. Everybody's going to come to me for their climate psychology needs.
Tried cat psychologist for a while. Then was a dream interpreter. Needed a new scam.
I was a gerbil whisperer.
So this article opens with how communication about climate change is not really going well. And Jack, this three-word sentence, people are scared.
Oh boy, I'm not.
Almost three in four people.
You can't measure how not scared I am.
Almost three in four people worldwide, 72%, are worried that global climate change will harm them personally at some point in their lifetime.
I don't believe that.
According to survey data from the nonpartisan Pew Research Center.
I do not believe that the millions and millions of people who are struggling every day just to survive are worried much about climate change.
Wow, that's a good point. Yeah, people living on the equivalent of a dollar a day.
Or you're in any war-torn country, which is a lot of them.
Yeah. We have 30% infant mortality here, but what I'm really scared about is another degree temperature rise in the next 10 days, 10
I'd
years.
Be shocked if three-quarters of the world population is even aware of climate change, let alone worried about it.
Yeah. Almost half of young people say their feelings about climate change negatively impact their daily lives.
Well, that's because your teacher has told you it should since you were in kindergarten. No joke. No, I'm not joking here.
Why not?
The number two thing. Since kindergarten and Sesame Street and everything else, since you were a tiny kid, you've been told you should be scared to death of this. So, yeah, of course you are.
And among young people, 77% say the future is frightening with regard to climate change. That's because the adults have scared them.
Yeah, because your fourth grade science teacher told you this.
Yeah, man. What I think this crisis is actually inviting us to step into, she says, is a fundamentally different lens, which is really moving from that me to we. And it's really stretching our cognitive capacity to think and experience and see ourselves as part of a system and as embedded in the system.
You need to go away, lady.
And I think your cat is stressed out because you changed the color of your sofa. I'm trying to read her bull crap, but
that was dismissive.
Yeah, I'd say. I'm midway through this. I'm exhausted by it.
You know, if it turns out I'm wrong,
so dumb,
and I'm 110 years old, and I'm my house is up on stilts because there's water inland. I'll say you were right. All right, okay. Is that a good bet? If that happens, or it's so dang hot out there you can hardly stand it, I'll just say, yeah, you're right. I was wrong. It still wouldn't have made any difference if I cared or not. So I don't care.
Well, Jack, it's absolutely essential that we start from a place of really having deep compassion for that feeling of, quote, nothing I can do will matter. So it's not like we shouldn't be feeling that, or there's something wrong with us for feeling that our individual actions are not sufficient. Well, of course there isn't, because they're not, and they won't. Actually, I'm just going to really connect with myself here and say, you know what? Yeah, it's really painful. It's really hard.
Is it really hard? I'm picturing one guy I know who I've never had a conversation with him where he didn't bring up climate change.
Really?
Poor guy. Yeah, he's worried about it all the time.
Really? Mm-hmm. It's only from that point that we're able to move into any kind of meaningful, impactful, creative response, where we're able to take stock of questions like, who am I? Where am I? What do I, how do I want to channel this energy, this concern, this care that I have, this that's coming up inside of me, that's expressing himself? We have to start from that place.
Huh. You know, maybe my kids won't be like this because they're growing up around me, but I would just hate it if when they're in high school or college that they're like seriously emotionally bothered by some of these things. It's just no way to go through life.
No, no, it's not. And mobilizing the children to be activists is really sick to my mind. In a lot of ways.
Well, because if it requires frightening them first, yeah.
Right. They have childish, literally, perceptions of the world, ability to process information. They're easily frightened because they're not in control of their lives. And it's just, it's so obvious. I mean, a lot of these people are well-meaning, I think, but they're twisted. Because I see the stats on kids who are actually freaked out about climate change, mm-hmm. and it's disgusting. You can make somebody want to do something or convince that it's going to happen without terrifying them. And if you change your cat's food, it's likely to have the runs. Give it a week.
Jeez.
I guess that'd be more a vet than a psychologist.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I guess that's it.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters. Every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.